Spitting Animal here on January 11th, 2012. January 11th, 2012. And I want to tell you about a letter I got this past week. It read as follows. Dear Recruiting Animal, I heard your show for the first time last week. It wasn't very good, but you seem to be very free with your opinion, so I thought I would ask you what you thought about this. 15 years ago, when I was in university, I had a history professor named Jackie Armstrong, and Jackie was a very funny guy. In fact, he thought he was a bit like Don Rickles. Remember him? So he used to like to ridicule the students in the front rows during lectures. And to be good guys, we let him. Then, at the end of the year, I was one day late with my final paper. And when I brought it in, Jackie said, "Nothing doing, buddy. I won't accept it. It's late." I have to tell you, I was amazed. Suddenly, this lighthearted comedian, our friend, had become a stodgy disciplinarian. Well, I went on to become a recruiter. I specialize in higher education. And recently, we were working with a college that was looking for someone to be head of their history department. And who do you think my sourcer brought to me but the famous Jackie Armstrong? Now, I never forgot old Jackie, and I never forgave him for what he did to me. But Jackie seemed to have forgotten. Jackie didn't seem to remember me, and I saw no reason to remind him of my identity. Now, I had to present Jackie because he was a good candidate, but I had a couple of other good people as well. And when it came down to a choice between Jackie and the other guy, I decided to get even. And in subtle ways, I emphasized the virtues of the other candidate. And that other candidate got the job. So let me ask you, Animal, do you think I did the right thing? That's the end of his story. I'm reading, and I get the end of the letter. So I'm going to answer this guy's question, and here is my answer right now. Yes, you did! You did do the right thing! The only problem is you couldn't tell him you were doing it as you stuck in the knife! Now, I want to explain my thinking, unless I, you know, in case I sound a little too aggressive or nasty or mean. Listen, I want to talk to you about forgiveness. Forgiveness means that you're not going to attack the other person because of what he did to you, right? And forgiveness is based on the recognition that this person is no longer a threat to you now. If you keep ranting about what someone did to you 20 years ago, people are going to think that you're a nut. Because no matter how badly you were treated then, you're no longer being threatened now. And a smart person is going to release himself from the past, no matter how traumatic the situation has been. But look, none of us is perfect. It's true. And even if you leave a jerk like Jackie behind and no longer dwell upon the offense he did to you, there's going to be a craving somewhere into mind to do to him back, to get even. And I, for one, see nothing wrong with adding a little justice to this world. Justice, that's what it is. Now, if you screw yourself on a $20,000 because Jackie failed you 20 years ago, that's just stupid. But if you can screw Jackie on a $20,000, well, that's just manna from heaven. It's pure good luck that fate has offered you this opportunity to even the score. And that's my message for this week to open the show. And Jerry, can you tell us, speaking of the show, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show! Yeah!
do it from the other side of the room, Jerry? I got to tell you, that wasn't one of your best. You're embarrassing me.
I felt pretty good about it. I think that was one of my top 10.
Okay, on Twitter, I don't know. Twitter, let us know what you think out there in the real world, okay? But thanks, Jerry, anyway.
You're just trying to distract everybody from that mediocre intro.
You know what? I learned some lessons. Peggy, just one sec. I'll get to you, okay? I learned some lessons last week. I got wrapped up. You're here. Thank you. I got wrapped up in another project. I told the Genealogy Society, you know, how smart I was about blogs, and they asked me to create a blog for them. That was my first big mistake, showing off what a smarty I am. I got stuck with somebody else's work. So it was kind of interesting. So I got really absorbed in it, and I neglected the show, I have to admit. So I had a plan. I had a plan, but it wasn't really strong in my mind. So when I got derailed by the technical problems these guys at Blog Talk Radio inflict upon me, even though I'm paying them for the privilege of doing this show. Anyway, so what happened was, like, when I got thrown off the rails, kicked off my own show repeatedly, then, you know, when I came back, I didn't have a clear path ahead. But if I only would have followed what I had, the show would have been fine. Another lesson. I made another mistake. I exaggerated the problem. I said, oh, no, it's going down the drain. Everything is awful already. And so I just started, you know, I don't know, screw it up. And you guys weren't, you know, sometimes you give me cues of what I should be doing. I wasn't getting any cues from the audience. So that also threw me. I thought, well, if I only would have stayed on the tracks, I would have been okay. But I just misinterpret everything. And, you know, that's supposed to be the best show of the year. I always enjoy it the most. And it wasn't very good. I apologize. Jerry wants me to do it, and I will.
All right.
So there we go. Is that enough? Peggy,
apology,
does that sound
accepted.
Good?
Yeah. I think it's enough.
Okay, great.
You know, everybody has
enough,
their
no matter
day,
what I
right?
said. You would have said the intro was enough. Don't talk so much. Peggy, thanks for coming back. McKee, everybody. Third
Thank you
time
for
on
having
the
me.
Show.
I'm kind of nervous about this show.
Well, I don't think you should be, Peggy. I think you've got a I misspelled it, but you're a dynamic dynamo. That's what I called you on the intro, okay?
All
anyway,
right.
Peggy. Okay, I thought the lawyer was going
to
be here talking, so that would take some of the heat off you. I thought he'd talk for 15 minutes about something, but he's coming next week. Either he or I screwed up on schedule. Anyway,
we've
got plenty to talk about. People have told me that they're very interested in you, and you were the best guest prize winner of 2010, as Jerry reminded me this morning.
2010.
So,
I know, and
welcome.
I don't think I was on in 2011, so that really doesn't count, right?
Yeah, of course, you didn't have a chance to beat everybody. Okay, so
that's
let's
right.
do, you've already shown us that you've got a streak of competitiveness. Is that a good trait for a recruiter?
Oh, incredibly. Because I think with recruiting, I mean, I probably could come up with 10 stories where I have, you know, wrestled a win from the jaws of defeat only because I'm so competitive that I'm up, you know, at 10 o'clock at night talking to a candidate who doesn't want to take the offer now because this, that, and the other, and calling the manager and, you know, telling
Hold
him
on,
to
Peggy,
sit tight.
Let me stop you right there, okay? Like, I just told you that I pulled a defeat out of the jaws of victory. Everything was ready to go. I had all the material, but I freaked out. Now, you're telling me you're good at doing the opposite. Tell us a real story. Don't say, I could tell you 10 stories. Do you have one story you could actually tell us of where things were going downhill and you rescued it because of your dynamic competitive character?
Well, first of all, does everybody know here that you and I did like a hangout on Google Plus?
I got to talk about
that.
I'm going to talk about that. Is that the story you want to tell? Is
well,
that what
I'm
going to
tell that
to?
Story because I told you this there, right?
No. Okay, Peggy, don't screw up my show early on. I'll move from that question. I know you can't handle it. Okay, look, I'll get right down to business. I invited Peggy here because we had a Google Hangout last week. Remember, I don't know if anybody heard my intro. I talked about it. I raved about it. And Peggy was actually on it with me. I'm going to ask her in a few minutes what she thinks of it. But first, I want to tell you what she told me on this Hangout. She said, in fact, when you talk to a hiring manager, you can give her advice. Like, Peggy sort of acts as a consultant in order to sell her candidates. At least that's what it sounded like to me. You want to tell the whole story or should I tell it? I want you to tell it.
No. I want to tell it.
No, you tell it. Don't screw
I'm
me,
telling
Peggy.
It.
I already had a big loss.
I'm telling
Wait,
it. I'm telling
tell
it.
The story.
This is a great story. I'm loving this story. This just happened in the last 2 months, and one of my old client companies, unfortunately, was laying off an amazing person that I placed there 2 years ago in Jersey. And the manager of that candidate actually called me to tell me that they were laying him off and that he was going to tell the candidate to call me back and how much they had enjoyed the time that he worked there and how they'd be willing to do anything to help him get his next opportunity, right? So that's a nice setup. The candidate is great. I have another client that is in a growth mode. He's only like a $7 million company, and he, I knew, was close to hiring a sales rep because he, you know, sort of flirted with me around September of last year saying he wanted to hire, and when I floated my fee, I think that just crushed him, so he went back to the, you know, the well that he'd been fishing from. And so I called him up, and I'm like, hey, you said that you wanted to hire someone who was this, that, and the other. I have this person in Jersey right now. Are you really ready to hire that? And he's like, yeah, you know, are we going to be able to negotiate on the fee? And I said, no. And I did the whole selling thing around why that's the case. And then I said, but you need to speak to this person. I'm going to send his resume on over to you right now. And as soon as I sent the resume, the guy pops me an email back, hey, I don't think he has enough experience. And I write him back and I say, hey, you remember I told you this is a person that worked for my other client and that manager's a lot like you. He's this, that, and the other. How about you just chat with the gentleman on the phone? If you don't agree that he's the bee's knees when you get done talking to him, well, then, you know, I'll shut up and I'll present you exactly what you want. And so he said, okay, great, set up the phone interview. So we set up the phone interview. 1 week later, I get an email from him right after the phone interview saying, hey, I know why you like him, but I'm really concerned about his experience. Well, I happen to know that this guy can't afford the experience that he would like to get, so it's in my best interest and his best interest to help him get over this because he won't go and buy the experience that he's going to have to pay for based on what he's saying. And so if he doesn't hire my guy, he'll have to settle for maybe experience but some negativity with it or something else, or he'll just keep hiring from the well that he's at and he won't have someone who has that talent that he needed. So I said, well, hey, how about instead of talking about what I think, right, because I'm just a recruiter, how about I have his current manager actually call you? I mean, could he call you right now? I mean, are you busy for the next hour?
Didn't he just talk to the guy's manager, Peggy? You're dragging it out. Didn't he just talk
I'm
to the guy's manager?
I'm dragging it out, but it's such a great story. Hang with me. Okay, so the manager of the guy that he's laying off calls my manager who's interviewing him and tells him how great he is and all the reasons why you don't have to worry about the experience and everything else. And so then the manager says, great, I'll meet with him. I'm going to be up there in 2 weeks. He meets with him and makes him an offer in less than 5 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never presented another candidate to them.
Yeah, you told that story much better on Google Hangout. Let me tell the story as I remember it, okay? And I won't make it
so long. Okay. Twice now. We barely made it through that one.
I know.
Dude.
Come on, look. She, you know, her old client had to lay off her candidate, whom they loved. Who knows why? We don't know.
Didn't I get that done?
You didn't say why they had to lay him off, okay?
Okay.
But let's just assume it was for a good reason. And
I can tell you, it's because Medicare was cutting New Jersey on their particular product.
Okay. So what happened was she remembered this other guy who was searching but didn't want to pay a reasonable fee, so she called him up and said, this is the perfect guy for you. And then he said, I don't think so. So she had her former client call the guy. But what you told me, Peggy, was he said he doesn't need – didn't you say it initially he said he didn't need anybody like this right now? And you went in. Maybe it was another situation. And you said you do need somebody, and I'm going to prove it to you. Was that another situation?
Well, he wanted to hire someone, but he thought that he should hire all this experience, and he couldn't afford it with his budget. So it,
well,
he wasn't
you know
going
what,
to get
then,
anyone
let me
hired.
Just let me stop you there. I invited you back to the show for the wrong reason because in fact I might not have asked you if I understood the story the first time. What I thought you did with your fantastic expertise was call a guy up, and he said, I don't need anybody. And you said, hey, buddy, I know you do. And you analyzed his business for him and explained to him why he needed somebody like you were marketing.
Oh, yes. All right. I'm so sorry. You know, I've slept like 5 days since then, or 5 nights and 5 days. The same manager, this new client, this manager in the $7 million company, I had actually presented him in the past to another company that was a $7 million company. So he knew exactly how I worked and how I would present a player to someone even when they weren't ready to hire, right? Because he remembered that. And I went to him and I said, look, the reason you have to hire and you can't be sitting around on this any longer is because remember when I presented you to Mike over at the other $7 million company? Every time he hired someone from me, he hired another person. He grew and grew and grew. And you know now that he sold his company, Acrometrics. And he said, yes, I saw that. And I said, do you remember how I put you in front of him? And he said, yes, I remember that. And I said, every time he hired someone, it was a growth opportunity. Because I'm helping people hire salespeople. So if they're doing a good job hiring, it's growing their business, which is just fantastic for everybody involved,
you know what?
Right?
I got to tell you, you're not growing my audience. I don't think anybody knows what you're talking about. You told me a great story. It's the same story.
So it's the content. The whole
so
thing,
good.
Animal. The reason
okay,
we ever even talked about
it. Let me just put
it
another way. You know,
the whole story
everybody.
Came up because Animal wants to know why I don't have more recruiters working for me versus me being an independent recruiter on my own. My answer was, I have a hard time teaching the way I recruit. He said, what do you mean? I told him this story. This whole convoluted story of all these different clients and how the relationships and how I work those people with each other and those experiences to get what I want. And I have a hard time teaching other recruiters how to do this. That's the whole damn deal.
That's correct.
It is hard teaching other recruiters how to be the best.
Jerry, I bet you do a lot of recruiting just like that story I just described to you. Right?
I don't specialize in only $7 million companies.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't either. But these two managers, you know, that experience was similar for them, so that was very cool. No, I don't either. But you see what I'm saying, Jerry? I have a hard time training people because this is the way that I can make placements happen. And it's an Animal's busting my chops because he said that I should be doing more recruiting, that Jerry says anybody who's worth their salt would have the best year ever last year in 2011. And I said, well, you know, I had a good year, but I have a hard time having people work for me, so I never get that, what I believe should be mine. Huh?
Trying to bring other people up to your level of success and doing stuff your way is tough, and it brings you down. I mean,
don't you think Animal's busting my chops a little bit here?
Well, he's had a few bad shows in a row, so he's trying to...
Well, that last one, you'd think he'd want to be kinder, gentler.
He's kind of trying to spice it up a bit. His ratings have kind of gone down.
Whoa.
That's where? I don't know if you knew.
Yeah,
really?
Okay, sorry. You're talking to my fifth column here, my stab in the back buddy. Okay, like, oh, here's my point, Peggy. You're right. You told me that you're not able to bring people up to your level, and then you told me the kind of things that you do. And my impression was, because you've been a medical sales rep in the past, and you're a very smart person. I know a bit about your educational background. And also, because of that passion and that competitive spirit that you demonstrated right at the beginning of the show, I thought that, you know, these are things that you either have or you don't have, and you're saying you can't bring anybody up to that level. And the way you demonstrated it to me was that you actually sometimes sort of act in a consultative role with potential clients, and they'll say, I don't need anybody, but you can understand what their companies are doing and what the potential is.
I know what the conversations that they're having are at the senior levels about the problems with growing their business within the sales team.
Know that. How do you know that, Peggy?
Because I was there.
Okay. So
I was there.
That means, okay, well, let's say someone is 23 years old. And so you can go in. What that qualifies you to do is to talk to a company in that field that you specialize in and that you have great experience in at a senior level. And so you can go in and look at that company and say, look, I know what you need, and you need a guy like this. And you say it with utter confidence because you've been in that guy's shoes. That's what you do. Am I right about that?
Yes, and I've got 19 more years than the 23-year-old.
Okay, but then 23-year-old just comes out of school, no working experience. Can she make money
as a
recruiter?
As effective as a recruiter as I am. Doesn't even understand, hadn't even received job offers before. Hasn't seen job offers, hasn't seen anybody fired, doesn't understand about all this shit. They can't do it. They can source, they can sell, but they can't do what I do.
They can source and they can sell. Understand sourcing.
selling. What are you talking about there?
Well, a scrappy person who's really, really sharp, I still can believe can be successful recruiting, but they're going to have to work a lot harder than I do, and they're going to have to they're just going to have to work their tails off. They will never have the same level of success because they won't get the bluebirds, as you will, and even I hate even calling it a bluebird because, in a sense, it can't be if I've built the relationship, the network, the confidence, and all those other things to make this happen, but they won't have those happen. They'll have to work for every sale. But an intelligent sales rep can sell and present candidates, but they won't be able to do what I can do.
Okay. Well, I don't know what a bluebird is. Can you explain that to me?
A bluebird, at least in my sales vernacular, is the sale that you didn't expect. It's when Walter Reed orders, Walter Reed Army Medical Center orders on September 29th $55,000 worth of quality control material because their budget's over at the end of the month and they don't want to lose that money. You never knew that was coming. It's a bluebird. Another one that I've had is I've had in the past a candidate call me up and say, hey, you know you presented me to so-and-so? Yep. You know they said they weren't going to hire me? Yep. Guess what? I started last week. You need to send them a bill.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a bluebird. It doesn't mean that I didn't work for it. It doesn't mean that I didn't – that I. It's not like it's a, you know, I work for ADP and I get a call off the Internet. I mean, I set that all in place, but it's not a sale that I have forecasted and know is coming.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't see why the 23-year-old couldn't do that, but let me shift. We had a guy on 2 weeks ago or the show before the last named Trevor Howenstein. And speaking of sales, he works from the Tommy Hopkins model. He sees himself as a salesman. Do you work from a specific sales model, or would you advise one for this 23-year-old recruiter fresh out of school?
Well, I don't think you ought to take on just one sales model. I don't think that that's probably the most effective thing, and I know no one's going to like hearing that because they think you should, you know, you got to find something that fits your company. And I've worked for companies that do strategic selling. I've worked for them that do professional selling. I've worked with them that do spin selling and then other, you know, things that have been bottled and canned or whatever, right? But I've read, like, every Harvey McKay book and every Tom Hopkins book. I've got 19 CDs of Tom Hopkins in my, you know. Yeah, so, you know, what do I use? If I have to say what do I use the majority of, I love spin selling. But, see, spin selling isn't really a process. It's just what makes sense when you look at a sale, and it's data because that gentleman went around and actually surveyed and saw that happen. He didn't just say he thought that would happen. So spin selling for me is the one that is closest to exactly what I do and I felt like was more my style than anything else. But I believe you should – I think you – you know, I'm reading Harvey McKay's new book that he just put out, the McKay MBA of Selling in the Real World. Now, I'll say that a lot of it has some of the stuff that I've read from him in the past, but I think as salespeople, and that's what we are as recruiters, you know, really that's what we are as anything in business.
Do you think you're a big fan of his because his name is McKay and your name
and mine is McKay?
I mean, is there some...
No, because I used to read him when I was Harris.
Oh, mm-hmm, okay.
Yeah,
I'm trying to help you out here, man.
His name is not really McKay, okay? That's something.
Jerry, do you read what school of selling do you come from, Jerry?
Tom Hopkins.
That's how you sell?
That's what I started with 25 years ago. I mean,
when you say now, you probably have Tom with a Jerry twist.
Yeah.
Right. Are you saying that if you do you believe that you could put a 23-year-old up against Jerry in a selling situation, candidates?
I'll move back a week before Trevor Howenstein, and we had a guy here from Ireland, Johnny Campbell, and he said he was a bartender who got recruited to be a recruiter. And a guy next to him had a list of accounting buzzwords on the wall, and they made tons of money. They didn't know he was a bartender.
Yeah, how long did he stay in the business?
Still in it, or he's now moved into social media.
Yeah, now
he's
a social media strategist.
And what I think about that is there's a company called Lucas Group and SOAR, and there's another one, and they're these military recruitment dudes. And they have a very hardcore selling process. And the reason I bring this up is they hire those young, wet-behind-the-ear military dudes to be their recruiters. So they're hiring the 23-year-old with some military experience and a college degree, right? And what I've seen with them is they can be successful for a year or two, and then they just burn out and leave the industry altogether, and they say they never want to be in recruiting again.
Peggy, I know what you're talking about, though. I can picture the theme you're going for. When I started, I had just turned 21, and I didn't really have much life experience, and so I was talking to these people that were 40, 55 years old, and I just really didn't have any perspective, and the conversation wasn't really a back and forth. It was a whole different perspective when you have got no life experience for those discussions when they're important. Anybody can make the
Well, yeah, because
place.
How does a 23-year-old, like this dude, the gentleman that just hired this person, how does a 23-year-old say to him, he's been in business 7 years, on his own, and I knew him 3 years before that. Even I've put him in front of other companies. I've coached him through issues when he worked for another company, and then I've watched him grow this company. So when I say to him, "If you don't hire an outside salesperson soon, you are missing a huge opportunity. You're right
Who's
where this
breathing?
Other company
Stop
was."
Who's breathing? Stop the breathing, okay?
Who is that?
I don't know, but let's
oh,
is Mike Aspringer here. Is Mike
so anyway, when I say
here?
That to this person, when I say you have to hire an outside sales rep, this is the way that you have to move in your business. From you're going to do it. You're either going to hire from me, or you're going to hire from someone else, or you're going to not achieve what you can. See, I can back that up. A 23-year-old says that to you. What do you say to them? I say, what do you know?
I say, what do you?
What's
wearing?
Your resume look
Mike,
like?
I want
Did you have
Mike
felt worth on it.
Is Mike, are you here? Mike.
I'm here, Adam.
Mike. Okay. I know you train people. You have people working for you. I'd like you to comment on what Peggy said. She said she's a super recruiter. I believe that. I've known her for a few years. She's real bright. You can tell she's got a lot of good communication skills, good attitude, but she doesn't have the ability to bring people up to her level. You have people working for you. I know you just hired somebody. Do you have any advice for her?
I don't think that your goal as a business owner should be bringing people up to your own level. I think that you should bring people in that you can delegate to bring certain tasks to the table that are going to help make your business more successful.
What do you mean?
That's a reasonable point.
I don't think that I'm going to bring a young recruiter in the door and have that person be at my level after 18 or 19 years in this business. I think that I can have them perform a particular function that's going to help me be more successful, be that sourcing, be that whatever it is.
And I agreed with that, right?
Well, okay, that doesn't sound like a clear statement to me, but let's say, you know, you got 20 years in the business. Isn't it really the first 5 years repeated again and again? I mean, have you learned anything in the last 15 years?
Me? Absolutely.
Oh, hell yeah.
Every single day.
I know.
Day.
I can't believe you'd say that. That's how come we're so much better than the 23-year-old. Maybe that's why you don't understand.
Why is the fault of
That's the problem.
Yeah.
But I like
okay.
Mike's point about not hiring people and expecting them to be as good as you either are or think that you are. You know, we
Thank
hire
you,
people for their strengths, and hopefully those will complement our weaknesses.
Who's breathing
right?
into the phone?
The
Can you stop breathing into the phone?
I get that all the time.
It's Jerry.
Jerry
Albright.
I don't think it's Jerry Albright breathing that hard.
No.
Sorry,
no,
I had RedTube.com on my screen
okay.
while I was listening
to this one over?
Have,
I mean, this
animal,
is an interesting topic. Yeah?
I don't think so. It's getting, like, repetitive. I mean, why do we keep focusing on 23-year-olds and what they can or cannot bring to the table? I mean, it's obvious. Why can't we move on?
To what?
Okay,
well, say that because you
wow.
can't get 23-year-olds anymore, Kathy. I can still get 23-year-olds.
I don't know that voice. Who is that?
That's
Let
Kathy.
Let me ask you, Kathy Manis. Let me ask you,
okay.
Kathy Manis. You've been a recruiter for a long time, and you said you learned a lot in the past year, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what do you think? Is it possible for Peggy to bring someone up? That's why we're talking about 23-year-olds, but not exactly. Is it possible for her to lift somebody up to her level as a recruiter, someone who can make her a lot of money?
No. I think it would take a good 5 years at least.
And if they're that
okay.
good, they're going to leave me and go work for someone else. Work for
right.
themselves.
That's what they usually do. That's
right.
what
okay.
you
usually
do.
I think that's a whole new topic, but I think there's things that you can do in any business, be it recruiting or any business, to give your people a sense of ownership and a sense of responsibility to your company and happiness, and that they're making the money they need to make and all of that, that they're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, that's another story. Okay, you might not want to
nice
keep them.
Dream,
okay,
dude.
Well, you know what? I just the last question. I was really impressed that she could tell someone what they need, and it's obviously she said now because she's been in their position and she's probably smarter than them. So, is anybody else?
Well, I didn't
do
say
that.
I just said that. See, I think sometimes these business folks, these hiring managers, they, you know, they're not totally confident about what they need, and so sometimes
that's
they need
job
to hear.
This they
is
don't
what
have
you should
time
do.
To do what you do, though, Peggy. Hiring managers don't.
No, they don't. No, they don't. But what I'm saying is sometimes they need to hear you say, look, man, this is the place you need. This is it. This is where you need to do this. Here's where I've been with this before. Don't you see it? Do you agree?
How many recruiters can do that? I don't know if anybody on this call
can
do it. I doubt it.
I can.
Who
no,
are you?
I can. Kathy?
Jerry can.
It's Kathy. I've done it.
Let's hear it. Let's hear
it.
The story.
Okay, very short story. A guy in the military was working, had been in the military for over 20 years, was doing patient transportation. This is when I was at Sodexo. He was working at a gas station. No one would look at him because they couldn't understand his resume because he was in the military. Long story short, interviewed the guy. He had revamped the whole patient transportation system after 9/11 in Washington, D.C. The hiring manager would not talk to him. The district manager would not talk to him. I went to the senior VP. They hired him. He was promoted within a year and is now way up in the company.
Okay, well, that's a little different. What Peggy's talking
about is going as a
third-party recruiter or even an internal recruiter, going to a hiring manager and saying, you need somebody, even if you don't know it. Okay,
that's what
we're talking about. And
you not only need somebody,
you need this kind of person. Not many recruiters can do that. Okay, let's
move on. Did I misunderstand? I don't think that's what she said. I think what she said was that he knew he needed to hire, but she told him that he needed to hire something different
argue
than what he
it.
Thought.
I'm not
going to
argue about it. I'm not going to argue about it anymore. We're at the end of that part of the show. Okay,
you'll argue about what I tell you you'll argue about. You hear me?
Right.
Please. I came back to this.
Right. Animal. You know what? I'm going to start blocking people out, okay?
Animal.
Go ahead, Andy.
I'm sure a minute with us.
That's right. Thank you, Jerry.
Are you done, Jerry?
Hi, Andy.
Hello.
Andy.
First of all, I just want to review the first half of the show. I mean, clearly, the reason Peggy is successful is simply the fact that she knows she has to wear different hats, and she knows what hat to wear when. That's why. Okay. Second thing is, I'm confused. Are we talking about 23-year-olds, or are we talking about 23-year-olds at $7 million companies? I need that clarified in the second half of the show. Okay, next thing is, I'm happy to see that A. Stringer was willing to share, well, indirectly share, that his 2012 New Year's resolutions had to include making sense for once, which is awesome. And I'm especially excited by the term bluebird because I've discovered that I did have a purple squirrel that became a bluebird.
Okay, good for you.
Hey, that purple squirrel
for you,
was
Andy,
not a bluebird.
Yeah, that's very nice.
That was
Thank you, Andy.
It's a purple cow. It's a purple cow. It's a...
The purple squirrel is the person who teaches you how to communicate. He is telling a true story. But
okay.
The purple cow is the...
Okay.
It's
now,
a
Peggy,
new
you,
way
you
to market.
And I had a chat. You and I had a chat on the Google Hangout. I was totally blown away about how easy it is to use and actually how useful it is. I thought it might affect recruiting in a strategic way. What was your impression?
I think Google Hangout is pretty amazing. You know, I called Animal because he insulted me online, so I had to call him and tell him to quit doing that again. And so when I'm talking to him, he's like, hey, I saw that he's on Google, but he doesn't do anything there. And he was telling me how these Hangouts were so easy. And right there in the phone call, we were able to get on the Hangout and chit-chat just like face-to-face. It was very easy and cool. And Animal says there's some instructions somewhere that you can record those. I do think it's going to impact recruiting at some point, Animal, because I do think it has so much value for a hiring manager to be able to get on there and chat with a possible candidate. But I can tell you, and my good friend Carl Chapman's on this call as well, that he and I have some intimate experience with video interviewing.
Well, I don't want to hear about your and Carl's intimate experience.
Yeah,
intimate experience.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about
video
our intimate experience
interview.
With video interviewing,
okay.
For sure. Because
huh.
The big companies like GE and Roche and all of those guys, they are flipped out about video interviewing because of, I guess, the appearance issue and decision-making.
Well, yeah,
and
it would.
They are.
You know, let Peggy talk, and everyone can talk after Peggy. We can't hear her.
But for
her
the smaller companies,
if
you can keep your HR people from being freaked out, that is an amazing tool that could save you thousands of dollars of travel time for interviews and increase the pool that you can see and how fast you see them.
Yeah, but then again,
yeah, but not only that, Peggy.
People have been
you know,
doing that with Skype for years.
Have they been doing
man,
it with
Jerry,
Skype?
This thing
Jerry?
Is like, this makes Skype look difficult.
Yeah. It is. I mean,
it
like
was
I can imagine.
It wasn't an animal.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's not just presenting. You know, the person to the client company. It's you can have a face to face conversation with the candidate if you're in Texas and he or she is in Chicago, right?
And you and the mm-hmm. candidate can watch a YouTube video.
Yeah, it's true.
And listen to music at the same time.
Reindeer antlers on you. Okay, so I guess that's that. Okay, now, resume strategy
hey, animal,
pointed out.
Animal, can
yeah.
I just say that I am on Google Plus and I am trying to figure that thing out, and I'm sure there's folks that are going to listen to this show, so I want to invite you guys to add me. And I've got a circle of recruiters on there that I share in my stream if anybody wants to add those to their circle.
Finally, there's a gathering of recruiters on the Internet. I'll check that right
you
out.
Yeah, and her name is Peggy McKee. Peggy McKee, Peggy, McKee. And on Twitter, she's at Sales Recruiter. She's also on MySpace. Now, let me do
yeah,
an
I don't
ad.
Yeah, I didn't
I
even
have,
know I had a MySpace account still. Thanks
well, you
for
should,
pulling
you
that
should
up.
Speak to Carl. You should speak to Carl about that to do an audit of your Internet presence and footprint.
No
now,
doubt.
I
need that reputation.com thing.
I have to take care of my business. I have a new sponsor. And it's Greg Dergarian, my good online buddy out in Minnesota. His company is called TempWorks. I haven't charged him yet. TempWorks. I haven't written out a formal ad yet. I'm just doing it off the top of my head. TempWorks.com. TempWorks.com. If you want to start up, if you're 23 years old, I don't know if that's a good candidate, but if you're 23 and you want to start up a recruiting company, a contract recruiting company, placing IT contractors with clients and have a bunch of software.
I advise against that.
Software
to
run your business. This is an ad, Jerry. Please don't interrupt.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
You said this wasn't an ad. You're just formulating your future ads here.
You know what? I mean, like, Fidel. Isn't that what I called you last time? The Fidel Castro Award for Freedom? That means you get to talk whenever you want, but nobody else does? That's not going to continue!
Dude, I don't
want to
say anything, man.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, TempWorks.com, they will supply you with the software, and they will fund you as well. You could go into business tomorrow with software for staffing from TempWorks.com.
And the money to get it done.
Okay. Now, Peggy, coming back to you, we're going to pick up the pace.
Please.
There we go. Mr. Stab in the back. Thank you, Jerry.
Well, you've got a good crowd here, man. And they're friends. We want to hear about Rayanne's Hawaiian vacation and engagement.
That's for your show. That's for your show. Congratulations, though. Rayanne, a regular on this show for a number of years, is now engaged. Happy.
Actually, it's
her
best wishes.
Well, thank you very much. Don't cry.
Okay, Carl.
Don't cry.
You didn't say a word. You had a lot of opportunity to help us talk, and you didn't. Thanks for nothing. Okay, but Resume Strategy pointed this out to me, Peggy, while she was complimenting you. You've got an article on your blog that says a recruiter can and will absolutely help you put together a 30, 60, 90-day plan, especially an external recruiter whose paycheck depends on you getting the job. I don't understand what that means at all. Can you explain it, please?
Absolutely. I'm the CEO of a company called Career Confidential, and we do sell a 30, 60, 90-day plan, template, coaching, all that other stuff. But anybody can
hunters.
Put together this.
For job hunters.
For job hunters, that's right. But basically what this is just it's how you communicate with the hiring manager what you're going to do the first 90 days that you're on the job. Because, and the reason I say a recruiter will help you with this is if you're working with me and you're a candidate and you say, and I've got you in front of my company and you say to me, you know, what can you tell me about the job? What, you know, why is the position open? What do you think they're most concerned about someone being able to do right away? What do you think the key things that I have to do to have a great launch would be? I'm going to answer every one of those questions for you, and that's going to allow you to fill out or develop your own, if you like, profile or 30, 60, 90-day plan that then you can take to the interview that really does impress the hiring manager. And I think any recruiter, I'm betting Jerry would agree with this as well, if a candidate is super interested in being the best candidate they can be and they want to sit on the phone and ask you some more questions and develop this plan and have you even review it, I bet he's okay with doing that. I know I am.
Unless I'm
okay,
drinking.
So listen. Yeah, if listen,
unless I'm, well,
Peggy,
even more so
Peggy,
if you're drinking.
If I got a candidate, this sounds like this 30, 60, 90-day plan takes a lot of work. Am I right about that? How
right.
many hours does it take to do that?
Well, if you're doing it on your own, it's a large number of hours. I mean, if you start with something, then you could probably complete it in an hour or two if you have the right information.
What do you mean if
you're
you start with something? I'm not sure what you're talking about here. Do I have to buy your product?
Well, I'm not trying. I have a company that does this, and I don't want to. I'm trying not to talk about it because I'm here to talk to you as a recruiter. So
I'm happy
if you
to have
you
talk about anything. I'm happy to have you talk about anything relevant.
That's what we call the Mike Raymer clause right there, and she's exercising it, animal.
I'd love to talk about it. I can talk
but
all day
cost
about
you.
It. I'm saying if I have a candidate who has a template, if they've purchased it from me or they've even done one of these things before where they've put together this, you know, comprehensive plan of what they're going to do in the first 90 days of their, you know, work on at this firm if they get the position, if they're going to start from the beginning to do this, a lot of people have a hard time writing phrases. They have a hard time thinking through these things. I think it's a 10 to 12-hour project then, right? Especially since you've got to do 1 or 2 hours of beginning research, talk to the recruiter for probably an hour. You know, it's a 12-hour gig to develop one from scratch, right? But in my company, we sell a product that actually has a template.
Let me interrupt. Why doesn't anybody listen? Am I kicked off the line again? Look, can you hear me? You know what?
I can.
Someone's on this line on a cell phone, and it's starting to screw things up. Get off.
Uh-oh.
Okay?
Kick them off.
Get off. I hear an echo. I might be a pro. I'm going to kick you off. I think I know who it is. Area code 203 or area code 111. Man, don't screw up my show, okay?
Sounds like Levy's neighborhood.
Things are bad enough. I think you're right. Okay,
Levy, Peggy,
just listen to me for a second, please. Peggy.
I'm listening.
Peggy. Okay. Now, when does a person start to put the plan into place? After the first interview? How do they know what they can do in this new company in the first 30, 60, or 90 days? They don't know anything about it.
Well, no. Some of these candidates know exactly what they have to do in the first 90 days of their business. If you hire me as a medical sales recruiter, if you're hiring me as a recruiter or as a medical sales rep, I can tell you down to the TY dot what I have to do in the first 90 days, and these people are professionals who've done this role before. So they already have a really good idea, you know. And this is what, guess what, fleshes out the good candidates from the ones who maybe aren't so good. Because, one, it shows dedication, it shows approach, strategy, creativity. And then when you look at the plan, you can tell if the dude knows how to do the job.
Is that mostly for salespeople, though, Peggy?
Oh, yeah,
you know,
Peggy, listen to me. Don't listen to him. You listen to me,
okay?
That
was the first good question of this whole show.
Listen to me. Jerry, shut up or you're off, okay? I'm talking.
Oh, my God, stop screaming. You're hurting my ears.
Hey, Jerry, are you on Google? We can do a hangout after this.
Can you control your buddy? Okay, Peggy, are you with me? Peggy, are you
with
me?
I'm with you.
Okay,
I'm focused.
So what you're saying is that there's an abstract set of rules that anybody has to put into place based on their professional wisdom when they go into a new job without even knowing the requirements of the specific organization. That doesn't make much sense to me. It's too ivory tower.
Well, that's why I'm going to crush you if you and I go and interview for the same job. And the reason
same
why
sales
is because
job.
I want to hear what Carl. I want to hear what Carl has to say.
Wow, that's not what she said. It's not an abstract set of rules.
What did she
said that the plan outlines what must be accomplished and what they will accomplish in the first 90 days of employment. That is researched and understood by the candidate who is going to get the job before the candidate who doesn't bother to do any research. That's why there's work to the plan, and that's why there's coaching involved in understanding how to put one together. And it's not just for sales. It is for any type of job.
But is this before your first interview or after your first interview?
No, you can't,
before
you
the
can't
second
do it.
Interview?
You can't
no,
do it before the phone interview, right? Because
okay,
you're going to need to get some information in that
right,
phone interview.
Right.
And the other thing is you can't present it in a phone situation either. So to do it before the phone interview or to present it would not be the best thing. You want to present this thing in person because it's very powerful. Because it's like a contract, right? Hey, here is what I understand your job to be. Let's go through this together, and you tell me where I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I need to know that because I want to know exactly what it is I need to do to be successful. And then you can tell me where I'm right, and you can see how I think and what I've planned, and you can ask me questions that will give you even more understanding of who I am so that you can be even more confident about hiring me.
I did something similar, Peggy, and it worked. It made me stand out. It was for a sourcing opportunity, and I asked them what one of their hard to fill positions were, and I just on my own did a search and presented it to them in a generic format, and they said no one has done that before.
Well, see, it's really powerful in front of the hiring manager. And like Jerry asked, does it work for sales? Well, it does work for sales because salespeople really understand this. But we had a polymer chemist the other day got his first job that way. He said his manager was blown away. So it came from what I would call a sales background because salespeople have to be selling themselves and selling. So they're very they're sort of entrenched in this idea. But when you apply it to IT or to even an executive assistant role in a high-powered company, marketing, I mean, it blows them away.
I got to tell you, it just seems so abstract to me because as you mentioned.
It's only abstract if you don't do your homework, see? Just think about it. In a sales scenario.
Is this one of the skills of a good recruiter talking over the other person? Go ahead.
Recruiters are known to interrupt.
Well,
absolutely.
Look,
this shouldn't be.
Let's say you send someone out for an interview, okay? And the company doesn't like them. And so are they going to go do this 90-day plan and try to convince them to see them for a second because that really demonstrates
no.
their smarts?
No. In this competitive marketplace, you used to could wait to the second interview to try to present this thing. But with the way the marketplace is now and the way the managers are making decisions, you have to present it in the first face-to-face with the hiring manager.
But you don't know enough about the company.
You
don't
damn
know.
Sure
you're
do.
Not inside there.
You've done phone interviews. You've talked to the recruiter. You've looked through LinkedIn. You've been on Google. You've been on Twitter. You've been on YouTube. You called someone who used to work there. You called someone that works there now. You called someone that invests in them. You could learn.
There was the stuff that we should have paid for right there.
Okay, so
you pulled it out
is,
of a good work, animal.
So the point
like
is,
Morley
somehow
Safer.
You got to get the information. And if you have a great recruiter and who has a good relationship with the hiring manager, they'll
it
have
will be
a lot,
lot
of
easier.
Yeah, but look, I got to tell you something. This is something funny. We haven't covered much on this show, but look, one of the my problems is you get these hiring managers. It could be a $150,000, $200,000 position. They'll only spend 5 minutes with you on the phone.
Oh God! Are you still going back to that one
Shut
example
up.
Of that
Why
sales
are they
deal?
Talking 5 minutes now? Why are you
ridiculous?
5 minutes with
don't work with
you
those people.
Spend 5 minutes on the phone with you. You're going to say things. I guess, but if you're asking questions that make them think things about their business, tell me, Mr. Manager, why did you contact me? Why did you call me to ask me about this role? What's going on? What's the level of pain? I've never had you call me before. I know I'm out there and I'm available, but you've always been using someone else. How do you fill your positions in the past?
Okay,
why
so
have you reached
you,
out
so,
to me? What are you disappointed in? What has to change?
Okay, so when you're with a hiring manager.
He didn't get off
manager,
the phone.
Your hiring managers give you as much time as you need. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, they do.
Okay, and if you were
mine
working
move.
With a, okay, well, you know, mine don't.
Is it, who's laughing? Does it, Jerry,
no,
can't
Jerry,
you get
Jerry,
the hiring managers you need?
It's Jerry.
I am laughing. I'm laughing with Animal.
Jerry,
for a number
do you
of
have
reasons.
A hard time getting
which
time
means
with
he's
the managers?
Laughing at Animal.
No.
Okay.
If I do, then...
They can't
see,
be
Animal,
your managers anymore, can they?
Animal has got a few examples, I think, from over the past several years when it was a little bit slower in recruiting. Maybe you weren't as discerning with who you recruited for. It's a different market right now. If you have a manager that won't tell you what's going on,
mm-hmm.
you need to be, you're not doing anything with them anyway.
Okay,
that's
Peggy,
right.
If they won't
they're
tell you
your time.
Peggy, if they won't say if they say we haven't decided on the salary yet, will you work the job?
Yes, I will.
Why?
Because I will say to them, "Do you understand?" In fact, we had a company that sent us they actually signed our agreement and sent it back to us and wanted us to work on this job, and they want to pay like I think the salary is between 50 and 60 in Boston for sales management experience, and I told the gal that assists me, I'm like, call them back and tell them, you know what, I appreciate them signing the agreement and everything, but we can't get anything with sales management experience in Boston for that amount of money, so it'd be a waste of our time, a waste of their time. And so, see, the money isn't – that I had to fire them, but I've had other companies who have said, well, we don't know what we should pay. And I say, okay, well, if I bring you the perfect person that makes you salivate that has these three things that you said you had to have – Can you do between 80 and 100? Well, yes, I think we can. Tell us what they've made and show us what some of your other candidates have been making and, you know, communicate with us what you think. We'll go with what you tell us. But, see, that's that relationship thing. That's that
see,
hard
that's a little different.
Spring,
I
right?
had a situation. I like bouncing it off people. I don't want any groaning in the background because Peggy hasn't heard about it before. I had a situation quite recently in a recent market where I was talking to the VP. He said, we haven't decided on the salary. I have an idea about the base. So I brought him two people. He liked them both. He picked one. The president then, who I didn't speak to at all, got involved and said he didn't like this guy. Go back and find some more people. I said, I'd like to know what the salary is at this point. No, they didn't have it decided yet. I said, I told the HR person, I want to speak to the president since he's obviously part of the decision-making team. No. What would you have done at that point?
I'd say we're done. Good luck.
Okay.
Yep.
So the point is,
I fired a VP of sales the other day who was begging me to recruit for two jobs for him, and he's going to fill them or whatever. And I'm like, look, Doug, every time we work together, I don't get a placement. Now, we talk a lot, and I present candidates, and you interview them, but I am not successful. And I'm successful with everyone else, so that makes it your problem, which means we're done. Because
okay.
I can't spend time on something that won't pay me.
We got 7 minutes left. Does anybody who hasn't spoken yet have questions for Peggy?
Do.
No.
Rayanne, you don't have any questions? I know you've spoken, but you really haven't spoken to Peggy. Any questions,
hi,
Rayanne?
Hi, Peggy. No, I think
hi.
She's,
how are you doing?
I think
okay.
she's very
nobody
talented.
Else? Okay,
I
fine.
Follow
I'll
Peggy
move
and
on.
Her blog.
I'll
Peggy,
move on.
Thank you. Peggy, this is Chris okay. Fleek.
Chris, go ahead.
Hi, Chris.
My question for you is, you know, you've been doing this for a while, and I want to know mm-hmm. what continues to motivate you. Is it the payday? Is it the chase? You know, we talked about competitiveness earlier in the show. You know, is it just the fact that you're competitive and this continues to feed that, or what is it?
I think I'm really lucky that I like working. Okay. And so it's really easy for me to get out of bed and go to work every day. And if I'm going to be working up here, I want to make the most money that I can make. I'm very financially motivated. And to me, recruiting is the most money I can make with the most freedom to do whatever I want to do. Plus, I do dig, I will tell you, I love talking to the folks in high places in the companies and impacting them. And I love the industry. So it's just a bunch of positives.
So you're not afraid to admit there is a bit of an ego stroke when you're talking with the C-level
folks. Sure there is.
Yep,
I think there's probably an ego stroke that I could call CEOs and I can call VPs and presidents. And I can remember when I was younger thinking that would be amazing, and now here I am.
When
I
you were 23, did you just dream of it?
When I was 23, I salivated over the idea, but I was too damn stupid to do it.
So I guess my last question is, do you think that somebody in sales can be successful if money isn't one of their primary drivers?
Yes, I do think they can be, but someone who's really, really driven will crush them. I don't think you have – no, because, Jerry, I've known some people who are really good at sales, and they aren't motivated by money. They just like getting out every day and talking to people, and they want their people to be very happy and pleased with the service that they get, and they want to be able to make enough money to have their lifestyle, but they're not pushing the edge.
I guess I'm more motivated by time off. So I really have to be successful when I'm
off. But when you're off, you got to be able to have money to spend. So
yeah.
That's what he's motivated
by. That's the problem.
It's not a problem if you're successful.
I like to party.
That's right.
Anything else?
I think it's interesting that I think people get to a certain pay scale or level of money, and then they get comfortable with it, and then they don't push to go outside that envelope.
Yep.
Even though they could.
Yeah.
Are we guilty of
Chris?
That on here?
Chris, are
you
done?
That answered
anything
the question.
Else?
Thanks. Nope, that's it.
Anybody else here? Last couple of minutes. Want to ask a question? You got 4 minutes. Anybody else who's calling in, a new caller, just afraid to say something, and maybe they'll start talking on Jerry's show? You can do that, but you can talk right now. It's your chance to actually talk to the guest. This is a very smart person I've got on today. I don't know if she's demonstrated her expertise to the max, but she's very smart, and she could be a CEO. I have no doubt about it. So nobody has
she
anything
is
else?
A CEO.
She is, Adam.
Yeah, she is of an organization of you and her and a few other people. She just told us she's not good at bringing people up to her level. Carl, smart guy. Anyway, I'll go to Jerry's show now. Thank you, Peggy!
Thank you,
So we want to hear about the engagement.
What? We don't want to talk about Peggy?
Nah.
Inquiring minds want to know.
I've never done this after show thing. What's up with that?
Oh, wow.
You're off the show, Peggy.
Yeah, you're supposed
you
to leave,
You wanted to stick around?
I got
to
go.
You're off. You can't stay
can't
on the
hear.
After show.
Okay, I'm out of here.
Aww.
Bye,
guys,
Peggy.
Later. Bye.
You can stay. You can stay and listen to Rayanne's engagement story, though. I hear it's one for the record books.
Jeez.
It's all anybody's talking about on Facebook. It's been.
Oh, is that right? That's all.
Weeks now.
Well, I typically have a very hard time at the holidays, being a single mom and my kids leaving to go spend time with their dad. And Tom, who is my fiancé, has been telling me for months that it was going to be a great Christmas and that not to worry and everything would be great, but I still have struggled with it. So my kids left the evening before Christmas Eve, so the eve of Christmas Eve. And
would be the 23rd.
Would be the 23rd, and we had a very quiet dinner, and I was very quiet, and he had these brilliant plans of getting up the next morning and going for a walk on the beach, and that's when he initially had planned to propose. But when he checked the tides, they were going to be all the way up, and there would be virtually no beach in order to propose. So he laid awake in bed all night worrying about how he was going to do it. And
in his own apartment, I'm assuming, being that you're not married.
That's an incorrect assumption, but
good.
And he decided that he just couldn't wait anymore, and he woke up with a fury and claiming that he heard noises upstairs and that he was going to be the man and go check it out. So He went upstairs and said and screamed from upstairs, saying, "I better come up here. Something's wrong." And when I got up there, he was pacing and said, "Don't you notice anything different? Don't you notice anything different?" And and I could see that he was worried. And I suggested that we call the police, and he said, no, don't call the police. And there was an unfamiliar stocking hanging on the fireplace, on the mantle. And he went and got this and said, "Didn't you notice this?" In kind of a gruff tone, and I said, "No." And he handed it to me, and the ring was inside. And by the time I got the ring out of the stocking, he was on his knee proposing, asking me to be his wife. So, and this was at 4 a.m.
Ooh.
He claims that he needed to ask me while I was still groggy so that I would say yes.
There you go. Then what'd you guys do?
Then we slept for a couple more hours.
No, I'm talking about over the next week.
Oh, okay. Okay. Then my children came home on Christmas Day, and we waited to tell anybody until I told my children first. And mm-hmm. so when we told them, then we synchronized our status updates on Facebook to being in a relationship, to being engaged. And then
really?
It seemed like all hell broke loose. We had phones ringing and text messages coming in, and my sister was furious that she found out on Facebook and not from me telling her in person. And then we hung around home for a couple of days, and then went to Hawaii for 8 days. So.
Super. Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you very much. It's been
awesome.
A whirlwind year. Mm-hmm. We just started dating a year ago, so it's been very exciting, though.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Thank you.
So how was Hawaii? Looked from the pictures.
Oh,
looked really
it was.
Cool.
It was wonderful. They had a really interesting story. They had an unexpected swells coming in. And
I thought that happened the night you got the ring.
So the surf, God. So the surf was very, thank you, Mike. So the surf was very high. We were talking 25 to 30-foot face waves. And they ran a surf competition that they only run when the surf gets to be 30 feet, called the Eddie, and it's in honor or a memoriam of a surfer that tried to save a shipload of people. He was on board and said, "I'll go for help." They were out in the middle off the Hawaiian Islands, and he was never found. And so they always say Eddie would go when the surf gets high. So they hadn't run the competition in a couple of years because the surf hadn't been that high, so it was kind of cool to be there when that
awesome.
Happened.
That reminds me of that tsunami that was supposed to wipe out Hawaii last
yeah.
time. Remember that? We were watching
I do
on TV
remember that.
Like, wow.
I was very worried.
Nothing
too,
happened. I was
kind
of bummed out.
Right, but that California coast was supposedly threatened as well. So that was
yes.
an exciting time.
Crazy, crazy.
But we had a great time, great trip. I do not recommend taking 3 weeks off to anybody, though. It's been really difficult for me to get back into
really?
The swing. Yeah, I loved time off. So my younger children have never had their mom home during their Christmas break. I've always worked full-time since they were little, so it was nice to be home with them. But it was difficult to come back to work.
Hmm. I always take, like, almost the entire Thanksgiving through the second week of the new year.
I know
off.
You do, and that's kind of, you were kind of my inspiration last year at this time. So
It's really great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the
yeah,
only
it
way
was
to
great.
Go. Yeah. I mean, I work when something's happening, or if there's a real chance
sure,
to make something
sure.
happen, I mean, I'll put a couple hours in. But okay, well, let's talk about Peggy's show real quick then, because I am busy and plan to get back to work here. Rayanne, what are your scores? And do you feel you've got a different perspective now that there is hope for you as a person?
Yes, now that
I mean,
have hope. Thank you. Thank you, Jerry.
Does Peggy get an extra 10 points just because of your frame of mind?
Of course she does. Everybody benefits because Rayanne's happy. Come on.
Yeah.
I think Peggy is incredibly knowledgeable. I follow her on Twitter. I've enjoyed following her for a couple of years now, and she's very, very, very smart. And I'm a Harvey Mackey fan. I've heard it pronounced a couple of different ways, but I'm a Harvey Mackey fan too. So, how to swim with the sharks without being eaten alive I'm going to give Peggy a 90 because I think she shared some incredible information. I disagree with Kathy's frustration about talking about 23-year-olds. I think there is a lot of wisdom that is given to us just because of the years that we've been in the business. And I think it's interesting that we need to recognize that, and Peggy's very good at that. So giving Peggy 90. I'm going to give Animal an 80 only because he yelled again, and I thought it was unnecessary, and I don't like the yelling. So
it's absolutely unnecessary.
It bothers me. So.
Okay. Well, thanks.
Thank you, and thanks for asking.
Yeah. Super. Carl.
Yes, sir.
How have you been, man? What's going on?
I've been great. I've been great.
Yeah.
Thanks. Working really hard.
Super. Yeah, I've seen your Facebook updates, golfing here, partying there. Life's tough.
Well, you know, I have this really cool job now doing the infrastructure support for Career Confidential, so it's it gives me a lot of free time.
Awesome. So I'm assuming then that you're going to give Peggy a pretty high score because she's your partner.
I'm going to give her a high score. Yeah. So
all right,
just write down a really high score. she gets a 98.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
She needed to yell just a little bit louder when Animal was out
right.
of line, and then she would have gotten 100.
Mm-hmm.
But that showed her wisdom and maturity that she didn't, though.
Well, actually, it shows the technical flaw of voice over IP telephone. She doesn't have the ability to get as loud as she needs to do. I'm with Rayanne. I love Animal, but God, the yelling kills me. And he should have dumped whoever was breathing in the phone instead of just yelling about it. So. I mean, at least I muted the phone while I was eating my lunch. So
there you go.
I missed the part of how she got talking about 23-year-old recruiters. Did she say that she had some recruiters and she fired them all, or what was the deal? What led to that? I missed that part.
No, and as far as I know, she hasn't ever hired a 23-year-old recruiter. I've helped her with selection and training and. You know, getting people up to speed on software and stuff. So that hasn't been her problem. I think what she was trying to illustrate was that a 23-year-old can't have the same ability to talk about or lead a decision maker into a buying decision. When they're dead set against it, because they don't have the experience to tell them things that they don't know.
Gotcha.
So
yeah,
I think that's where I think that's where that came from.
Cool.
So, yep. But I miss you guys. It's just Wednesday isn't usually a good day for me. And I saw Peggy was going to be here, so I wanted to make sure I was in the audience to keep the attack dogs off.
Glad you made it. Who else is still here with a score?
Andy
Gregory. Hey, Andy. Congratulations.
Yes, Andy.
I'm sure you were part of the city council that changed the beer sales regulation for Marion County to get on Super Bowl Sunday. It's going to be one massive 1 mile wide party all around there. That's
yeah,
very cool.
It's very, some of the stories about the alcohol supply. It's just, I mean, they have all these routes for the way that emergency beer runs can be made. Like,
oh my God!
It's crazy.
For all the listeners
quick,
that don't live in Indiana, we can't buy beer in Indiana on a Sunday unless you're inside a restaurant. They're going to loosen that up since the Super Bowl is in Indianapolis this year.
I want to know if this has anything to do with the raid for the Michael Jordan shoes that where people were trampled in Indianapolis. Does the beer run have anything to do with that?
No, that Michael Jordan thing, that was crazy. But that mall is, I wouldn't be caught. Well, if I was in that mall, I would probably be caught dead.
You'd be caught dead.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I'm going to give Peggy a 92, and I'm going to give Animal a. And I hate to do this to him, but there's a reason. He was about half as good, so I'm going to give him a 46. And the reason being is both of those are divisible by 23.
Yeah, love it, love it. All right, next caller. Anybody
Chris
else?
Here.
Chris Fleek.
Man, this is a tough one for me. There was so much potential today, I thought, because I thought the guest is very knowledgeable and very confident. But the wheels just kept falling off along the way, and I don't know why that is. I'm going to give them both a 74.
Ooh.
I would like to have her back as a guest at some point. I think she has a lot to contribute, and some good dialogue can be had. But I think things just started off bad with the story that she told, and Animal didn't like the story. And when things start off bad, they just never seem to get back on track for me.
He needs to rehearse it a little bit more, because he knows the answer that he wants someone to give on these first several questions he's got. So he needs to practice that. He should say, hey, I'm going to ask
what the
you
green
about
room
this,
is for.
And then you're going to say that.
Right? Jerry, yep. that's what green room is for.
Yeah.
Green room. We don't have a green room. That's the problem.
The Google Hangout.
Exactly.
The Google Hangout.
He needs to have a green room meeting before he has the show.
Yeah,
hey, I'm going to do this, then I'm going to ask you that, then we're going to ask you this, then we're going to ask you that.
Yeah.
Instead of yelling at the guests because they didn't...
They didn't give the answer that he was hoping that they would based on the call
exactly.
that they had. Because he grills people before the show.
Right.
Yeah,
I understand it.
But just for the record, I give the 74 actually thinking that that's a fairly decent score. I mean, 74% is pretty good.
Well... I don't know.
But there have been better.
Yeah, clearly. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, I'm struggling with this one, Jerry. That's why I've been quiet all this time.
Oh, I thought it was just because you finally recognized my power and authority on this show.
Oh, is that what it is?
Perhaps.
You know why I'm struggling? Because, first of all, Cora May says that I'm negative all the time, and that's... I don't enjoy that reputation. But second to that, I don't want Peggy to think I dislike her in some way, because I don't even know her. But my problem listening to her today is basically the same problem that I have with you. And that is this. I have the world's biggest ego, or so I think.
Yeah.
But I feel like people like you and Peggy just sort of go around and, you know, I'm the greatest, Muhammad Ali, you know, I'm the greatest, there's no recruiter better than me, I'm the greatest, and that grates on my nerves pretty quickly.
Can I ask the other members here, do I actually do that, people?
I've never heard it.
I could document it.
You can answer, it's okay to answer. Heavy hitters like myself can appreciate direct input.
See, I would say you do it, but you do it in a way that just says, yeah, I'm doing this, but I'm not necessarily being serious about it.
Yeah, there you go. You're getting me. Yeah, I certainly don't go around saying I'm the best.
So I've known you 15 years, and I just don't get you?
That could be.
Right.
I'm actually a pretty mellow guy. The telephone
allows
for...
There's a lot of humor. Jerry has a lot of humor writing behind everything he says. So
feel free to check out my
just
address
because,
on Google Maps.
Hey, Jerry, just because your new ringtone is, you know, sexy and I know it, it's okay.
That video is crazy. Have
circle of
it?
Excellence.
All right, so Mike, you're as good as I am, okay? What are your scores?
You've made my week, Jerry.
What are your scores?
The other thing is, I don't know why Animal just let her talk and talk and talk. So as a married man, it's bad enough I got to listen to that at home. I didn't want to listen to it on the show today.
Oh, my God.
Ouch. Ouch.
Wow.
That's pretty funny. Your wife obviously doesn't listen to the show.
What's that?
Your wife obviously doesn't listen to the show.
One time we were driving to Miami in the car and I made her listen.
Did she wonder just what in the hell you're even listening to?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to give the guest a 60 and I'm going to give Animal a 45. Like, I wasn't even sure he was on the line most of the show today.
He did let her kind of ramble, and I think that's when people start thinking, man, this sucks. Even though
and
she
I'm
might
sure
have been rambling about stuff
going,
that people like to hear.
I'm sure he's sitting back going, you know, every week people bitch at me because I interrupt, and now today I didn't. But I wish he would have made that move or that decision with a little more interesting topic.
Hmm. So you don't mind rambling if it's something that you want to hear.
Exactly.
But you perhaps think that Peggy's a bit egotistical, and you felt that she was...
Wait,
and
wait,
I sort of
Mike,
came into this show
Mike
with a preconceived
Astringer
notion.
Thinks somebody else is egotistical? Really?
I preface this part of the conversation with I know I have the world's biggest ego. But I also came into this show sort of with a preconceived notion of what I thought of Peggy anyway, just following her on various social media.
You know, regarding anyway, ego,
and
regarding
you
ego
can,
I
you
mean,
can back off now because I was very, very nice about your engagement. I did all the things
you
I
were,
thought and laughed to
you.
Myself. I didn't say a single one of them.
Until the swell came up.
Until the swell came up. I couldn't let that one pass.
You were very well behaved. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, it was fantastic, Mike. You're
thank
the best
you.
Ever.
As somebody that's 7 years into his second marriage, the question why keeps coming up in my mind. But, hey, best of luck to you guys.
I'm so glad I picked the right one. The first time. Love it. Okay, anything else, anybody? I've got a mess to straighten out, hopefully to either make a placement or solidify a new client exclusivity. Yeah.
I hope I can grow up and be like Jerry.
You could be, man. You sure could.
You know what? Maybe I can come to Indiana for a couple of weeks and go through the Jerry Albright boot camp. How would you feel about that?
Man, the boot camp's real simple. I mean, I could send you an email and have everything you need to know in one email. For free.
Well, I want to come out there so I can shoot dinner out the office window.
Yeah, we. This weekend's going to be a pretty big night. We're having a coyote hunt in my bar.
Really?
Yeah, I downloaded this squealing dying rabbit MP3.
Oh my god!
And I've got outside stereos for my hot tub area. So I'm gonna ride as the sun's going down. Hopefully we'll have some snow because we should be getting snow tomorrow. I'm gonna crank this squealing rabbit for like half an hour. Coyotes should come running.
Coyotes coming.
And we're gonna blast them right out of the window. So if you can get here.
That is
I can, I can hold that off till Saturday if you're in.
I'll tell you something, I might be because I was at the shooting range the other night and this guy had bought this semi-automatic shotgun he was shooting in the range the other night and that thing was amazing. I may go back and buy it.
Mm, yeah, do it. Shooting is fun. Rayanne loves to shoot.
I do like to shoot.
She's a shooter.
That
my
was the
favorite
first time I
weapon
ever...
to shoot, though, is AK-47. Which is not controllable and will go through five houses right in a row.
Mm.
But it was fun to shoot.
Jerry, let me tell you, other than surfing when I was a teenager, the very next time I ever thought about swell was when Rayanne was holding those two guns at the first Christmas party last year.
Oh, dear.
Well, I think on that note, we'll leave it at that. Kicking your ass isn't easy. But clearly I do it all year long, Mike. So on that note, I do have to get back to work. It's been a great show, and thanks, everybody. Call me if you need any help. High-dollar stuff, though.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye,
y'all.
Everyone.
See ya.
Bye.
Well, they don't like the way I talk, and they complain. My show's a bunch of schlock. They criticize about me endlessly. Nobody knows how they got stuck with me, and they complain about the hat I wear, and they explain there's other shows out there, and then they whine, my show makes too much noise, and then they say, I shout at all the guys, yeah, whoa, little darling.
Okay,
no matter
Marcus,
what I do,
oh,
yes, you know it's true, ain't good enough for you.
The dude abides. I don't know about you, but I take comfort in that. It's good knowing he's out there, the dude, taking her easy for all us sinners. Shush. I sure hope he makes the finals.
The Huffington Post has published a bunch of articles by religious people about the death of Osama bin Laden. And most of those people who wrote about it said, you know what they said? They said, we shouldn't be happy. Hey, but you've got to wonder, why not? Why shouldn't I? When I go to the movies, when you go to the movies, are you supposed to feel bad when the bad guy gets it at the end? No! And it's the same thing here. There was one guy on the Huffington Post, the HuffPo, as we call it, and he said something worthwhile. He said, you know what? You can feel sensitive about your enemy when your enemy's the guy who steals your parking place. Yeah!